Raiders fans. You can be here for live NFL action all season long. As the official ticket marketplace of the Las Vegas Raiders and the NFL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Whether you're cheering on the Raiders at home or away, find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Raiders.
Go on, get a little out there, into the big-hearted heart of Nevada. Swap your jersey for more adventurous attire. Take a time out and huddle around the campfire. Come to a place where the stars shine brighter. Change your POV. Ride an ATV. Tell reality BRB. We've got surprising things to see. Go on, get a little out there. Start planning your trip at TravelNevada.com.
You're listening to the Raiders NFL Draft Podcast. Here are your hosts, Bucky Brooks and Rhett Lewis.
Welcome in to the Raiders Draft Special. I'm Amber Theo Harris. Drafts matter. A bad one can throw your team off for a decade, but a good one can get you to the playoffs the very next year. Look at the 23 Texans. C.J. Stroud at number 2. Will Anderson at number 3. That's 2 picks, 2 Pro Bowls, 1 Rookie of the Year, and 1 playoff appearance. That's what we call immediate return on investment. And they did it with a young defensive-minded head coach in D'Amico Ryans. So you see the parallels here? But the Texans didn't have superstars like Max Crosby or Devontae Adams or emerging players like Malcolm Kuntz and Jack Jones already on their roster. If the Raiders hit on this draft, they could be the turnaround team of 2024. And to talk about what the Raiders might do, we welcome in a man who has seen the power of many drafts. We say hello to NFL Network's Rhett Lewis. Rhett, it is always good to see you, and even better to see you in the silver and black, my friends.
Let's go. What's up, Raider Nation? Yeah, great to be with you, Amber. Love talking draft. Love talking the possibilities that Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce and this Raiders team really have in front of them as we get this thing rolling on Thursday.
It is exciting. It feels like Christmas. And let's start with the idea I was just talking about, the idea of a quick turnaround. In your opinion, do the Raiders have one of the more ready-made rosters in the NFL? And if they do select the right quarterback, could it produce immediate dividends?
I think any time that you throw a potential game changer into the mix at quarterback, yes, I think that can, because I don't think anybody went into, just to kind of go back to what you were saying at the top of the show, I don't think anybody went into the 23 season thinking, holy smokes, the Houston Texans are going to go to the playoffs, they're going to win a playoff game, and they're going to be poised, you know, to compete for that division title for the next 10 years like that. And look, that's what C.J. Stroud did. Now, could that be the case here for the Raiders? It's going to be harder because they're picking at 13, not at 2 and 3 like the Texans did. But look, Tom Telesco knows what he's doing here. He knows what it means to pick big time quarterbacks. Took Justin Herbert, right, as GM of the Chargers, helped in that evaluation process of Andrew Luck back when he was with the Indianapolis Colts. So the pedigree is there. Now, are the players going to be there at 13? The players that they love is really the question.
Well, according to your predictions, you have the Raiders taking Michael Penix Jr. at 13. What makes you believe he'll still be there? There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think at that point I would have 4 quarterbacks going before Michael Penix comes up on the board for the Las Vegas Raiders at 13. And to me, the formula there for him is very simple. Intoxicating arm talent, unwavering confidence in using that arm to push the ball down the field. And you throw in the athleticism that he showed at his pro day, running a high 4.440, and he can move around in the pocket with some suddenness there, but likes to operate from the pocket. I don't think there's a way to look at Michael Penix Jr. as anything but an appealing player at number 13 and at quarterback in this draft.
That's good to hear. The Raiders do have 2 quarterbacks on the roster. They have Gardner Minshew and yes. Aiden O'Connell. Both have been starters in the NFL. But in your opinion, can this team get to the playoffs if those are the 2 quarterbacks they go forward with, if they do not get a premier quarterback in the draft?
Yeah, and I mentioned that in a piece I've got out on Raiders.com right now, assessing all the different ways that the Raiders could look at the quarterback position in this draft. And the big caveat at the top was, look, let's understand a couple of facts here. That Aiden O'Connell had this team competitive down the stretch. And for a rookie in a tough situation, performed very well. He's an accurate player, doesn't have the biggest arm out there, but he gets the job done. And then you look at Gardner Minshew, who comes over from the Colts and was a drop pass on fourth down away from leading the Colts past the Texans to win the AFC South and get into the end of the playoffs that way. So Gardner Minshew can win football games. Aiden O'Connell can win football games. They can keep you competitive. But look, in my opinion, at this point, if Michael Penix comes onto this roster, he becomes the best pure passer on the roster.
Well, any team, I mean, you're saying Penix will be there at 13, but let's say they want somebody else. Any team that is going to trade up to 3, 4, or 5, which are all possibilities, to get a quarterback, they'll most likely they'll have to give up 3 first-round picks. And would, from a logistics standpoint, would that trade have to happen before the draft? That doesn't seem like something you're pulling the trigger on right after number 1 goes or number 2 goes.
Well, here's the thing on that. The timing of the trades, I think, with the quarterbacks is going to be really interesting, right? And it's going to be a matter of, all right, do we love the players that are on the board here? Like, if you're going to move up to 3 right now, you've got to be comfortable with both Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Like, really.
And that's the kicker, right?
I'm not totally sure.
That's the kicker. Is because and you like, can't predict what the Commanders are going
to
do.
Yeah, if you're going to trade up to 4, then we really don't know. You got to be comfortable with all, 4 quarterbacks at that point. I think we're all kind of assuming at this point that Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears. So yeah, I really think that if somebody's going to make that move up to number 3, it's going to happen after the second pick is made. But if somebody really wants to go up to number 2, and sure, it could be the Raiders. Tom Telesco has said that, they've got a plan to move up if everything falls into place. Then you could make that trade before draft day.
Well, Adam Peters has said he ain't moving from 2, but, all things
That's
are
right.
open. Depends on what you're offering.
I wouldn't either
if I were them. No secret, though. Yeah. The Raiders have not found a lot of recent success in the first round. Josh Jacobs is an exception there. Should Raider Nation feel more confident with a veteran GM like Tom Telesco leading the process this year?
I would feel supremely confident with Tom Telesco leading the charge. I think we want to talk a lot about what he did with, a player like Justin Herbert. But you go back to what Derwin James has done for that Chargers franchise. When healthy on the defensive side of the ball is a cornerstone type of player. Look at what he did and drafted a rookie Pro Bowler in Rashawn Slater out at left tackle. So if quarterback's not in play, I feel very comfortable. And then went and got Zion, the next year to play the interior out of Boston College in the first round. So if quarterback isn't on the docket at 13, there's going to be a really good offensive lineman and offensive tackle there as well that I could totally see, the Raiders entertaining that possibility. And I'd have, every confidence that Tom Telesco is going to get an impact dude really from day one right there with that 13th pick.
Yeah, and not just offensive line, Rhett. There could be two of the top corners sliding down the board. Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold could still be there, and that would look really good across from Jack Jones. The Raiders play in the AFC West. They have to stop a guy named Patrick Mahomes. Could you see Telesco prioritizing corner in the first round?
Yeah, and here's where I think it ultimately comes down to, right? And this is probably some of the conversations that are going on at a much higher level inside the Raiders draft room right now. But they could be looking at this and saying, once 13 comes up, all right, we've got probably an opportunity to draft the 3rd or 4th tackle on our board. How much higher or lower is that player than the 1st or 2nd corner that might be available as well? And how does that dichotomy really match up in terms of our value and how we place it there at 13? So is the 3rd tackle higher than the 1st corner, or is that 2nd corner higher than the 4th tackle? Those are the type of things that you have to weigh out. In a 7-round mock draft that I just completed and filed to Raiders.com, which you're going to see a little bit later this week, I actually have them taking the corner in the 2nd round at pick 44, going with Max Melton, really good player with inside-outside flexibility from Rutgers, was one of the best in the Big Ten, ran a 40 in 4.39. So he's got all the speed, got all the traits, and is a real smooth guy in coverage, was down at the Senior Bowl as well. So that's another way to look at it there when you get to round 2.
Hey, I think that'd be a successful draft, getting a quarterback at 13 and then a starting corner at 44. I think they would walk away feeling good. Tom Telesco's old team, the Chargers, they sit at number 5. That could be a spot the Raiders could have access to and might be interested in. But what do you think first-time GM Joe Ortiz will do at five. Do you see them trading out, or that, you know, they have needs?
Yeah,
they got rid of a lot of guys because of cap casualties.
Yeah. And look, I think you're also trying to understand your new head coach in Jim Harbaugh and what he wants and what he needs to be successful and to lay the groundwork for his formula, which, look, if it follows anything that we saw in Michigan, they're going to place a real high emphasis on the offensive line, on the tight end position, on running the football. Now, look, they're not going to take a running back at number five. It seems a little far-fetched for Brock Bowers, the best tight end in this class at number five, although he's going to be gone not long after that. So maybe if you move down, right, if you get out of number five, you move down to, let's say, 10, 11, 12, then maybe that opens up a possibility for a guy like Brock Bowers. And then, you know, if you stick and pick, the best offensive lineman on the board is likely going to fall right into your lap at number five. Joe Alt from Notre Dame certainly feels like a real possibility there at number five. And then even if you trade down, you're probably looking at, you know, another tackle. You know, Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State, Olu Fashanu from Penn State, J.C. Latham from Alabama, Troy Fautanu from Washington. So they've got a lot of options there, and it's really going to come down to what best suits their franchise, you know, for Jim Harbaugh's image of their success.
All right, one last question before I let you go. Finish this sentence. The Raiders draft will be a success if?
Let's see. If Tom Telesco finds... if Tom Telesco finds impact players, right, from day one, the day one, not necessarily the draft, but day one, stepping into the program as guys who can really fill some voids, and then, you know, you continue to build depth. So a couple of day one impact players and then depth at the back end of the roster, I think, is something that, look, that's ultimately what you're going to look for there. So I know I probably could have just said if you find the franchise quarterback, it's a success. But I do feel like they can still contend if quarterback doesn't come off the board early. So impact players one way or another, and then depth at the bottom of the roster.
Raiders fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long. As the official ticket marketplace of the Las Vegas Raiders and the NFL, Ticketmaster is a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Whether you're cheering on the Raiders at home or away, find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Raiders.
Go on, get a little out there into the big-hearted heart of Nevada. Swap your jersey for more adventurous attire. Take a time out and huddle around the campfire. Come to a place where the stars shine brighter. Change your POV. Ride an ATV. Tell reality BRB. We've got surprising things to see. Go on, get a little out there. Start planning your trip at TravelNevada.com.
To talk about what the Raiders might do in round one and beyond, we say hello to NFL Network draft analyst Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it is always good to see you here. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know you're busy leading up to Thursday, but you've done mock drafts for several years, all through Tom Telesco's 11-year career as a GM. What are some of his tendencies that you've noticed over the years in his drafts?
Well, I think anyone who knows Tom Telesco has to understand who his mentor is. His mentor is Bill Polian. Tom Telesco and I were together way back, my rookie season when I was with the Buffalo Bills. He was interning. And I think what Tom has done is he has taken some of the lessons that he learned from Bill Polian and put them into practice, meaning he's going to invest in what we call the marquee positions on the field. So the marquee positions are quarterback, offensive and defense, offensive tackle, pass rusher, and then he's going to take some premier playmakers when the opportunity presents itself. But what you're going to see is he's going to invest early on in the positions that matter the most. And so it's going to be a blue chip player at a marquee position that sets the franchise up for success for the extended future.
That's interesting you say that, because in your mock draft 4.0 coming out on NFL.com, you have the Raiders selecting J.C. Latham at number 13, an offensive lineman. And now I see why you're going with that, because, look, typically Bill Polian actually taught me this, that linemen taken in the first round hit at a higher rate than most positions, definitely more than quarterback, and they play for a longer amount of time. So there's more value in your pick as an offensive lineman. But can the Raiders afford to forego a quarterback? I see why Telesco would have that philosophy, but do they need a quarterback in round one?
Well, I mean, look, so ideally in a perfect draft, you have the players that actually fit where you need. But here's the thing. If you are the Raiders and you're sitting here looking at a draft board, and we're speculating that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. So that takes Caleb Williams off the board, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, in whatever order, they're off. So now you're looking at J.J. McCarthy, you have Bo Nix, and you have Michael Penix available. What you have to do if you're the Raiders staff is you have to look at where those players are, how they grade, and how they would grade in traditional drafts. Would these guys be top five players in another draft? Would they traditionally be a first-round player? And then you also have to take those players and compare them to the quarterbacks that are in AFC. Let's start in the division, Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Can a J.J. McCarthy theoretically go compete against those guys and win if it becomes a shootout? Can they compete in the AFC against the likes of a Joe Burrow, a Lamar Jackson? You think about Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud and all of the other quarterbacks that are in the AFC. And what you want to make sure is that you don't just reach and take a quarterback because you need one, that you're taking a franchise quarterback that is going to be able to compete at a high level against those guys that we talk about.
Can Michael Penix compete with those guys?
I think
so. Parameters?
I think so. I am a huge Michael Penix fan. And one of the reasons why I'm a Michael Penix fan is I don't know if there's a better deep ball passer that we've seen in some time. This dude is a big play machine. If you watched him at UW the last 2 years, I mean, just over the top. Back-to-back years with over 4,000 yards. People talked about just the amount of splash plays that that offense produced with him under center. And the thing about Michael Penix, because we've kind of reached a point where everybody's about the off-schedule plays and the spectacular plays that happen outside of the pocket. And that's not necessarily in his game, but in the pocket, when protected, there's not a better passer when it comes to pushing the ball down the field. And I just think about the Raiders and the tradition of the Raiders, and the Raiders have always been a big play bombs away team when they've been at their best. And I think if Mr. Davis was still around, Mr. Davis would point to Michael Penix and be like, that's the guy, because he loved the long ball. And I still feel like that's a big part of the history of the Raiders. And I think that has to be a part of the evaluation.
And they got quite a few receivers that can catch the ball on the other end with Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams. What are the biggest areas of need for the Raiders? Not the best players available. If they were drafting for need, what do they need the most?
Well, I mean, I think you need frontline help, obviously, because when you think about only having two guys under contract beyond next season, you got to make sure that you have enough depth up front. We've heard AP talk about wanting to win the line of scrimmage, wanting to kind of bully the bullies. And the only way you can do that is you have to have a talented offensive line. I would say running back has to be addressed at some point. You lose a rushing champion in Josh Jacobs. You want to make sure that you have someone that is ready to be the bell cow, ready to do it at a high level. And then the secondary. The first thing that you have to do is you got to be able to build a team that can win the division. The Raiders have done a really good job of fortifying the front line. You think about the last two off seasons, one to get Tyree Wilson, then they come back and get Christian Wilkins on the inside to go with Max Crosby. Up front, you can get it done. But the secondary is where you have to make sure that you address those issues. You got to be able to cover outside. And I love some of the young players that are playing there, but you got to be able to cover outside, and you have to have a playmaking safety that can take the ball away. Those are the areas where the Raiders have to look.
You mentioned running back and having a bell cow. Do you think Zamir White could be that, along with Alexander Mattison backing him up?
I think he could be, but I think you have to add more pieces to the rotation. I think when you're looking at the way the league is evolving, if you're going to have a back by committee situation, you got to have a thumper, a guy that can kind of grind it in between the tackles. You need to have a change of pace guy, a guy that can make plays in the passing game, screen, misdirection, draws, and those things. And then you have to have a utility guy that can do a little bit of everything. I think for the Raiders, at some point, they want that size guy that can kind of lean on defenses to make it work. Josh Jacobs is not there anymore, but one thing that you can't deny is that, man, he was a physical running back who was able to handle a heavy workload. You need to either have one person that can do that, or you have to have multiple players that can kind of add up to what Josh Jacobs was able to produce when he was there.
You and Rhett Lewis, who's also on the show today, did an entire 7-round mock Raiders draft out on Raiders.com, as if you had extra time to do that. Give us the cliff notes. What are your biggest takeaways from what you saw the Raiders doing?
So Rhett is really funny. He was really excited about taking on that project. It's a tough project. I think here's the thing. Everyone talks about taking the best player available, and I think that's key. But I think the trick is taking the best player available at the value that you need to take him to fill the need. And so it's juggling that, meaning when you're looking at the first round and you're trying to weigh, okay, We have quarterback. We have offensive tackle. We're sitting here at 13. What is the more valuable player? Do we take the high-end tackle and then see if we can circle around and either trade back up into the first round, or in the second round, can we get the quarterback? Or do we flip it and take the quarterback early and come back and get the offensive tackle? I think in looking at that seven-round mock, it was a lot of those scrimmages that you have to have with scouts and coaches that you have to kind of get worked out before you can attack the draft. But I will say, this draft, the first 2 days, you'll be able to find a lot of players that can come in and contribute. And then the scouting really has to get done on day three to find the hidden gems, the underrated players that are there and available that just need the right home to be able to succeed.
You are a UNC alum. I bring that up because I'm a Terp and we should hate each other, but we're good friends. You have the Tar Heel, Drake May, going to the Patriots at number three. So despite Elliott Wolf saying we're open for business, do you not see the Patriots moving out of that position? Do you see him taking a quarterback?
I mean, I think when you're the Patriots, you only have Jacoby Brissett on your roster at quarterback. You have Bailey Zappi, but he's not really a threat to be a starter. You have to take a quarterback if you're sitting there at three. A lot of times the draft leading up to the draft is about being cute and, hey, we can trade around and we can get these picks and that pick. But really, it's hard to turn those picks into players. And if you're sitting at three and you have an opportunity to get a quarterback who you believe can be a franchise quarterback, you have to get it done. I will say this about Drake May. Drake May didn't have the best final season at North Carolina, but if you look at him, prototypical size, prototypical arm talent, great leadership ability, has great athleticism, did a lot of things his first year. And people have to understand, out of the last 4 years, he hasn't played football in two of those years. COVID wiped away one. He basically was a red shirt his first year at Carolina before playing the final two. His best football is ahead of him, but he's inexperienced. And so it will take some time to nurture that talent before it can kind of pop at the next level.
All right, if the Raiders truly stuck to the best player available at 13, that actually, it could be a corner. Would it be crazy? Because I'm expecting offense to go quickly off the board. Would it be crazy to double down on defense, especially with Antonio Pierce's philosophy? Will that work in the AFC West? Can you win with defense and a Gardner Minshew and an AOC?
You can do it, but your margin for error is tighter. But you have to play good defense to be able to win. Everyone talks about the Kansas City Chiefs, and we still are thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs with Pat Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill and just kind of that aerial circus that they had. But the Chiefs are going back-to-back because their defense has been able to keep the score down, and they've been able to win in that vein. I would say that they have to continue to think about attacking the draft and attacking team building in that area. Hey, let's get the best players. Let's see if we can put the best defense together. We want to manufacture points, but there are tactics and strategies that you can utilize to protect your offense when your defense is thriving. Right now on paper, the Raiders defense look like it could be a top five, top 10 defense. You want to build and add to that, and then you can figure out how to play on offense to complement that.
Oh, add a corner there. That could be interesting. Crosby was clearly undervalued heading into the 2019 draft, maybe that, you know, not coming from a Power Five conference. But who is a player this year in the mid to late rounds that you think could excel as a Raider under this coaching staff?
Man, that's tough. There's so many good players that can excel. I would say a player that I would keep an eye on. I would keep an eye on Cole Bishop, the safety from Utah, very athletic, a guy who has all kinds of ability to contribute, not only as a frontline player, but he's going to be a special teams player that can make some plays. I would say another safety in Cameron Kitchens from the University of Miami. He's been dinged a little bit because he didn't run the fastest time, but another really, really good player. I would say when you go out wide and you think about, we're talking about secondary, Daquan Hardy, a nickelback from Penn State is someone that is of value who could certainly contribute. And then when we go to the other side of the ball at running back, there are a ton of running backs that will be of interest, but keep an eye on Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson. He might be the best running back in the draft. And for whatever reason, he hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but this guy catches the ball out of the backfield. He's quicker than a hiccup. He has some of that Christian McCaffrey type stuff to his game. He is someone that could be drafted maybe in day three that gives you more bang for the buck when it comes down to being an RB1.
Thank you for listening to the Raiders NFL Draft Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the Raiders Podcast Network wherever you get your podcasts.
Raiders fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long. As the official ticket marketplace of the Las Vegas Raiders and the NFL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Whether you're cheering on the Raiders at home or away, find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Raiders.
Go on, get a little out there, into the big-hearted heart of Nevada. Swap your jersey for more adventurous attire. Take a time out and huddle around the campfire. Come to a place where the stars shine brighter. Change your POV. Ride an ATV. Tell reality BRB. We've got surprising things to see. Go on, get a little out there. Start planning your trip at TravelNevada.com.